I'm going to welcome now three chaps, Andreas, Doug and Aaron. I'm very interested in this topic. This is the work that's being done on the new mobile clients from Element. So Element X and Element Pro. So please welcome Andreas.
Thank you.
Hello. Happy Friday, which is almost over. Happy conference, and yeah, I'm happy to be here to provide you with the latest on our mobile clients and Element Pro. I work at Element as a product manager. I have two main areas of responsibilities, one of which is end-to-end encryption, and the other one is mobile clients. I'm doing this with Aaron and Doug. Later they will show you some newer or even future parts of the product. Aaron is one of our three product designers, taking care of the same areas as I, so we work together quite a bit. And Doug is one of our most senior engineers, specialized on iOS development. The structure of the talk is pretty straightforward. We have two parts. First part is all about the Element X and mobile clients, including the path to sunset the previous generation classic clients. And the second part is about the Pro family and the growth of it. Before I start to talk about the future, I need and I want to talk about the history as well, because that helps to understand like why we are where we are. And also, I think there are many learnings which aren't unique to Element that can perhaps be useful in other contexts as well. So a couple of years ago, we made a really big bet, and why I say it's a big bet, because it's something that companies at this stage usually don't do. At least I haven't seen that much in my path. And the bet we made is that we set out to rewrite our mobile applications from the scratch. The biggest goal of that work was basically to get these apps to a shared like technical foundation, which is the Rust SDK, which then in the future would provide us with like much lower maintenance costs, much lower development costs, and obviously lead to more consistent apps across these two platforms. And speaking strictly in a narrow like mobile context, the other goal was of course to have a platform native and modern user experience, which the previous generation clients were certainly not. Now, anyone who has done anything like that in the past know that this is a challenge which is very hard to overestimate. And it's hard to overestimate even if you just do like a one-to-one conversion, nothing around you changes. Because like over the time, if you have an existing app that has been setting a lot of expectations for your users, what the features are, and so on. But of course, in reality, the world keeps changing around you, so you can't just stop it. And a lot of things were happening in the matrix, which we just couldn't ignore, which we also had to incorporate as part of this rewrite. So this was all those matrix 2.0 things like sliding sync, native OIDC, matrix RTC. None of which were actually ready at that time. They were still under development. So it was pretty much like a moving target. An additional initiative that you may have heard about today is the Invisible Crypto. And that was also, we were shaping and adopting this into Element X. And then we obviously revisited our design system to make web and mobile apps more consistent in terms of like how they look and how they feel. And one other point I want to make about all this is that when we started, the Rust SDK itself was incomplete. So it was in its early days. And in fact, like I think during this time we have been building out Element X. I think we have put more effort actually building out Rust SDK. So oftentimes when we started some project, we always do some effort estimations for the purpose of understanding like where is a reasonable cost and benefit, like ratio, what are the most complex part. And oftentimes when I was looking at the numbers and the estimates, I saw the Rust numbers were way higher than the numbers for actually putting stuff into the app. And as we saw yesterday, Rust SDK is now also used by many other clients. So it hasn't been just a journey to build Element X, but actually there's way more to it. Now, obviously, in an ideal world, we would have finished Element X and just replaced the existing app in the stores and everybody would have been happy. But as you just heard, like in practice, that just took so much time to get the full feature parity that we decided like a little bit more than a year ago to launch an excellent product that was incomplete. And we decided to do that because its overall user experience and performance was already so much better than the legacy client. But because of that, we of course needed to keep the legacy app in the stores so that everyone could migrate safely, everyone could migrate when they are ready for that, because as I said, not all the features were there yet. And this is not to say that this is an ideal approach, but it was kind of like the best of the two not so good options that we had. Which fortunately, I think we are not too far anymore from actually getting rid of the old apps and switching everyone over to the new Element X. And this leads us to the current plan of how we are thinking about doing it. So if anybody has recently searched for Element in the app stores, they have seen that there is actually currently no app called Element because the previous generation client, we have renamed this to Element Classic already. So that's a subtle change. We intentionally for now kept it subtle, not to scare yet the people, especially customers who may not be still ready migrating. But still giving some signals to new users, like which client to download. And obviously, we currently want this to be Element X. The next small step we are going to make is also make the app to be Element Classic as you install it in your phones. That's actually currently not the case. And instead of like saying that this will happen very, very soon, which is often done at conferences, we can just go ahead and try to do it right here. So conveniently, this is Dark's laptop and he obviously has all the permissions on our App Store account. So I can just go to the right window and click this button. It's the very first time I do something like that because I don't have the permissions to do it. But hopefully this will go through and soon you will see the rename also on your iPhone. Manual there will do it also for the Android pretty much right now. So we have one thing less to do to get rid of the old apps. All right. So this year we have put quite a lot of effort into getting spaces and threads on Element X, because those two have been the major, blockers that have prevented us to actively pushing or inviting users to Element X. We talk in more detail about those a bit later. But yeah, basically, that's the reason why we haven't done that yet. But we feel quite confident that we can start doing it before of this, before the end of this year. There is one other thing, like one other major thing that we'd like to do before, and that is to make the verification easier for those users who already have the legacy app. So as you know, Element X requires you to verify your device when you sign in. And that's very inconvenient to do if both the apps are on the same phone right now. So we want to make this automatic. So when you sign into Element X to the same account, this verification is, so to say, hidden from you. It's automatic. So that's another thing we'd like to do before actively starting invite users to Element X. Of course, like for all our customers, the customers we are tracking separately, we know very well like what each of them needs in terms of like getting to Element X. But I'm talking like more general public and people who are outside of the customers who are going to switch. Sunset date, and sunset means pretty much removing the app from the stores, hasn't been set yet. I think we can set the preliminary date once we are at the point where we can actively start inviting users over to Element X. We can say it's certainly not before end of this year. And obviously we can say that, yeah, we will in any case not abruptly end support for the classic apps, because we already have put quite a lot of effort into actually managing the two apps and also getting everyone over to Element X safely. Let's talk about Threads in more detail. So Threads is one of those features that people, like many users have said, yeah, well, I'd like to switch over, but Element X doesn't have Threads. We decided not to do just a one-to-one conversion from the classic app to Element X, because we knew like the current experience was suboptimal. We wanted to get something that is better, that is much like Discord and Slack, and essentially that means like people have different name, calling it with different names like subscription or participation. But the idea is basically you get notifications for the thread you're interested, you're subscribed to, automatically or manually, and obviously it makes it easier to catch up with the stuff that you need to really catch up with. Up to this point, we have mainly invested time into the spec work, the backend work, the Rust SDK work, and so it will be a little bit more time until the 2.0 implementation gets into Element X. But Element X actually already allows you to read threads and write threads. Still, you need to enable it in the lab section. That's new in Element X. We just recently put it out there. But quite soon, we'll have the feature parity with the classic app. So it won't be a blocker anymore when it comes to sunsetting the legacy app. The few pieces we are missing are seeing if the thread has new unread messages and getting a list of threads for the room and so on. And then this will be followed up with a 2.0 implementation. And of course, it's important to mention that this 2.0 wouldn't just concern Element X on mobile, it would also apply to Element Web. It has to be done in both. Then the other key dependency are spaces. Similarly, like threads, we just didn't port over the existing implementation. And again, like we already had feedback that the current implementations we had, whether it's web or whether it's like legacy mobile apps, it requires some enhancement. So we started pretty much from a clean slate. I mean, to shortly describe what those enhancements or areas of problems are, I think at least in our clients, the implementation of the spaces were a little bit like a low level, which means that like for me, like for a power user, that was a good thing. They had a lot of flexibility. They could find a way how they can make spaces work for whatever they need to use spaces for. But for a regular user, especially in a workplace context, they were not able to make sense of how they should use spaces, what they should use spaces for. And that's what something that we wanted to address. Now, the very good news is that the first increment of spaces has landed. If you still don't see it in your apps, then like just try to update your apps. It should be there. The first version or increment we have been calling read-only version that allows you basically to see the spaces you have joined, helping to see the rooms in those spaces, join the rooms, like accept invitations to spaces. And this will be followed up by two major iterations in near term. One is, of course, like creating and managing rooms and spaces, which we don't have yet. And the other one is also grouping rooms in your room list by the spaces. So you have a more organized room list, and that's, again, like done by spaces. All right, and I think that's pretty much it that I had to say about the path of getting to one like app and getting everyone over to Element X and what we are going to do there in the near future. So now pivoting to Element Pro, which you have already heard about in different talks from different angles. So I think my angle is also, again, slightly different than the other ones before, but not too much. So the term Pro, we haven't used the term Pro like for a long period of time yet, of course. But like Synapse Pro and ESS Pro, they have been around longer in this family, and they provide this kind of enterprise grade backend or a matrix distribution basically for your deployment. This spring, we also launched the Element Pro mobile apps, and just very recently we also launched the Element Web Pro app, and together this whole makes a complete workplace solution for any organization that wants to deploy Element professionally. So Element Pro is all about solving the unique problems of a professional environment. So this can be like a for-profit organization, non-profit organization, government institution. That doesn't matter that much. But over the years, we have learned that this workplace use case and this kind of environment, it actually has more differences to like the family, friends, community use case that you might initially think. So it's actually quite a bit different. And as Neil said in the morning, it's not just about the very end user. It's also about the end user, but it's also the organization who actually has to run it, who has IT, who has operations, and needs to also meet the critical needs of those departments. What I have here is some key problem areas and example features when I say unique problems. So these things are kind of like distinct features which are hopefully easy to understand and work well as an illustration. But there's actually much more to it. There's actually like in the overall user experience, there are things which are scattered around. Maybe it's like individually, they are small things, but as a whole, they actually make a big difference if the organization and their users are seeing this as a good replacement for, let's say, Microsoft Teams or not. On the client side, on the app sides, we are still in the very beginning. So most of the excitement is in the roadmap. But we made the apps available early, One of the reasons is very pragmatic, and it's we want the customers to go to the right app from the start, because otherwise, like, they need to do another switch later for all of their users. So that's why we put the Element Pro apps in the stores like quite early. But we do have some features already. So for instance, you can optimize the onboarding experience, like skipping the home server selection and like configuring this with a mobile device management. You can customize the log servers, whether it's for compliance reasons or whether because you're just operating in an air-gapped network. We have content scanning, very first version available on web. It's also on roadmap for mobile. And then we have something on the roadmap which is called like organization concept, which is maybe a little bit hard to explain because it's not such a distinct feature. But it's again like making the users in the workplace context like feel at home when it comes to like comparing to Microsoft Teams and so on. Maybe a few illustrations about that. So Matrix superpower is federation, and obviously it's cool if you can talk to other organizations and so on. But when you do so, you still want to be like on a safe side, meaning that you understand like who your messages go to and who do they not go to. So for instance, if I go to a room, I want to know if there are people in there from other organizations, and obviously then who those organizations are, because then I know what I can say in this room, what I cannot say in this room. And it's not so hard to define these borders, because in most cases organization like is defined by a home server or domain. It could be that like an organization has multiple home servers or multiple domains, of course, but it's more like how you make those borders of an organization visible to the end users. Like, do you actually show to the end users that there is somebody in this room who isn't part of your organization? Or when you create a new room, do you offer the option to just make this room available to your organization, not anybody else? Again, technically, you could do this with spaces. It technically works. The issue is that the users wouldn't get it this way. The users want to have similar options that they see in Teams, that they see in Google Docs. That's like chat is for our organization, that is maybe shared with other organizations and so on. And this organization concept, it's like very much closely related to spaces. It's somehow also going to be built on spaces. So basically I'm now letting Aaron to show a little bit the designs that we have for this area of the product.
Okay. Hello, people. Okay. There we go. Okay. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a design outlook on the current state, but also the midterm future of spaces. Today, as Andreas mentioned, you can already see there's a spaces tab now, and there's read-only access, but there's still a lot more to come. So just a little setting the stage, you know, the mental model trying to work with when designing for this was chats is really thinking of like your activity, things that you're currently involved in, conversations you're having, spaces you've already joined, where the spaces tab itself is more about discovery. Not only the spaces that you're in, but that you could join ask to join. So in your chats list, it is by default just a mix of activity happening in either rooms or spaces. So you can see that a space is now treated kind of like a room, but it has some indicator. It has that, you know, these rounded corners that distinguish it visually at a glance. And then you can see in the last room message that was posted there, and there's activity. And then when you go into that space, you can see all the rooms that are in it. And in this case, there's an external space. So this is a case where, let's say on web, someone had created a subspace of a space. You can see that in here. And you can see all the rooms in there are indicated with this little icon that shows you that it's an external space. These people are not in your organization, or it's a shared space between people in your org and externally. And you can, importantly, filter this so that it makes sense to you. So you can just see all your unreads at a glance, including spaces or invites to a space. If you were to tap rooms, all the rooms within the spaces would be exposed. So essentially, in the normal chats list, it's all collapsed into a space. But if you click rooms, the spaces go away, and you see all the rooms that you're a part of. And you can also do the opposite of just see your spaces. So get rid of all the individual rooms and just show me which spaces that I'm joined to that have activity. And in this case, there's also an invite to a space. So this is a private space where not everyone can join, only those who are invited. And so I've been invited to this space, and I can either accept or decline right away, or I can go in there to get a preview, to learn a little bit about, you know, this is a private space with 10 people, small little cozy group. I get a good description, and I see who I'm invited by, so I know whether or not to trust that person automatically or to wonder if there's something suspicious going on. And then when I accept, now I can see all of the rooms, and in this case, nested spaces, that I can just join directly. From this view, from the chats list, when you create a room, we've added a little bit of functionality. So now, besides, you know, the normal things like naming your room and adding your topic, there's now a little section here for which space do you want to attach this to, because it's just from the chats list, so it doesn't know if you want to put it anywhere. If you don't, it's just treated like home. It's spaceless. It just shows up in your chats. But if you want to put it into a space, then anybody in that space can access it. And here you can set the access standards. So let's make it private and create the space, create the room. And another change we've made is creating the room or creating the space up front. And then afterwards, if you want to invite people, and finish, and now you've got your cool new room. Then if you go to spaces itself, this is where your org becomes more transparent. So you've got the logo that the company or the organization that you work for, the name, how many people are in there, so that it gives you a lot of confidence that this is the official right space I'm supposed to be in. As I had mentioned before, this home concept, these are spaceless rooms that you belong to or that you can join. And then the invite would show up here as well, but then the rest is all spaces you have joined, can join, or asked to join. So this is really about discovery. You're not expected to really go here very often. And whenever you are invited to something, you'll see the invite in your chats list. But you can always go here and browse and, okay, cool, I want to join this directly. Or the space looks interesting. It's external, so there's a mix of people in there, but I want to write a little thing and ask to join and have my request sent. And from here, let's say if you go into a space, here if you actually create a room, then it knows that it is being attached to the space that you came from, so there's no need to put it there. And let's see what else. And there's also going to be some specific settings for the org itself, so you can see all the people that are a member of it, as well as you know, if you're the admin of this organization, then you can play around with all the permissions and manage your group members and stuff. And then the same thing for space itself. It has its own settings as well. Where you can set the security and privacy, which is your access level, you know, by default right here, anyone an element can join. So once you're, you know, in the organization, you can find it and join it, or whether you want to be asked to join or invite only. And that's really about it. So that's an outlook as to what's to come, and a lot, I'm sure, will evolve in the coming months. So.
All right, thank you, Aaron, very much for the future, showing what the future will look like. Another feature of Element Pro apps is to get self-branded apps. And what the self-branded apps are is they are essentially white-labeled Element Pro, which has no mention of Element, and which, like, the customer or you would put it into your app stores under your account using whatever name you want to have for the app, like the description, the logos, and of course there is any, there is more further customization of these apps. In the context of Element Web, the end user experience would be the same, but of course, like, web apps are deployed differently, so you wouldn't have to go through the App Store publishing process, but you would still, like, deploy it as you normally deploy Element Web. Element still takes care of building those apps so that you don't have to fork. You don't have to maintain the fork. You don't have to set up the build pipeline. You get ready to publish app from us. And now I let Doug to peek you a little bit into the kitchen side of how we actually build those self-branded apps.
Cool. Hello, can you all hear me? So we're going to start off, before we go into self-branded apps, I'd just like to show you what Element Pro looks like and how you can customize Element Pro as well. So this is our new app. It initially looks very much like Element X. However, if you notice at the bottom, we've used MDM to provision a server, so it's much easier to sign in. So I'm going to sign into this. And I have a super secret storage for my keys. And paste that there. And so the first thing that you should notice is we have now an orange color, should match your brand. How's this working? So this is something that you can configure on ESS. You can provide your brand color. And as I look around the app, you should see that it applies to everywhere where we would normally apply the Element Green within Element X. And it maintains consistency with our compound color system. So we guarantee the accessibility that we guarantee within our own app. And despite the fact that there are many, many colors in that system, when you do it, so here's a, this is a preview. You obviously do this on your server, but when you apply it, we just ask for your brand color. And from your brand color, if I choose one here, let's go with blue. We generate all of these colors in a way that they will match Element X. You won't lose any accessibility here. I think we generate something like 112 different variations of the color and then just apply them as we need to. So yeah, that's how you can customize Element Pro. Moving on from that, let's talk about the pipeline apps. So if you want your own custom app, we need a bunch of information from you. We will provide you with some documentation that basically just goes over what do we need for common between an iOS and Android app. What do you want for iOS? What do you want for Android? You can choose one, both, neither. One or the other, or both. We take that. We put it into... We've built a pipeline to build these apps. It's built using Pickle, which is a really cool open source language from Apple. And the cool thing about this is that it gives us type-safe guarantees, so we can take a simple configuration file and we can spit it out into various formats that we need throughout the app, both within the app and within the build system, just so that we can guarantee that the information you give us before we give you an app to deploy, it's all validated and it will work. So I'm going to run through and build one of these apps today. The first thing that we do is we need an app name and we need a brand color. Brand color is exactly the same as what we just saw in Element Pro, but instead it's hard-coded into here. I've also got some assets within this demo, so I've got an app icon and I've got a logo that are shown within the app. from here, we then need the servers. So we need your matrix server. Something that's special about the pipeline apps is, if you have multiple servers, for example, you might have a UK server, a Germany server, or you might have it for different departments, you can give us all of those, and you'll see in a bit, the users can select those much more easily. You can have a custom server for your push notifications. We need some information for MAS, for Matrix Authentication Service, which is basically just information about the app that we're building that can be shown within the MAS user interface. Where are we? We then need to know about some services within the app. So whether you want to have maps for location sharing enabled, whether you want to use analytics, whether you want to collect your own RAID shakes or not. And finally, everything up to there was common between Android and iOS. Finally, we'll have a section for whether you need the specifics for the iOS or the Android apps. So this is things like the Apple identifiers that they require for the app, and then specifics like there's some extra things like analytics and just specifics for these services above. So we go through all of those. And then I'm going to get this building, and whilst that's building, normally what would happen is we would take that information, we would put it into our pipeline, and whenever we release a version of Element X, it triggers our pipeline to run, it builds Element Pro, and then it also builds all of these apps for all of the customers. And hopefully this will finish quickly. Sat on 37, oh, here we go. Cool. So, we built StrazChat. It's got the app icon that we provided, so you get your own app icon, you get your own name within the home screen. You can brand it here how you would like, and I will sign in. You can see here we have a nice picker, so you can choose which server you want to plug into rather than having to manually enter it. I shall continue. Again, go to my super secret storage. And there we go. So we are now into this app, completely branded how you like. So we've got, again, purple colors everywhere. And this is what a pipeline app looks like. It's built upon Element Pro. You get all the benefits that you would get with Element Pro. And we look forward to people starting to use these. So thank you.
Thank you, Doug, for the demo. That's pretty much all that we had to show today. So as a very quick summary, Element X is the undisputed future, and we are on a clear path to getting rid of the previous generation apps and getting everyone to Element X, and then the Element Pro family and the Pro apps will provide the complete enterprise-grade solution for the professional workplace use cases. Also, if you have any feedback, if you have any questions, you can, can't show it right now, but you can drop by the Element booth. We will be there after this presentation, so you can ask any additional questions if you have, if you don't want to ask them right now. Or I think we have been sharing all the QR code where you can basically submit your feedback online. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh, am I on? Thank you, chaps. Super. Are there questions live in the room now? Must be. Must be somebody who wants to ask these guys. Okay, well, I have one from the room. I'm not sure who should answer this. So regarding space management, the question is around the permissions for the management of spaces. So, for example, what if you wanted to be able to manage the space and to add subspaces but not add members? Is that kind of granularity something that we should be looking at, or is that beyond the scope of this?
Yeah, I think it's too specific for me to come up with a very, very good answer. I think I understand the question, but yeah, I'm not sure about the answer right now.
Okay, yeah. Super. Well, here's one.
I can get an answer.
Oh, you want
an answer? So at the matrix level, we already have the finely granular permissions to allow to somebody to say, hey, this admin is allowed to manage the membership of the space, but I know isn't allowed to join people to it, but we're not exposing it in the UI yet. I think it'll be really interesting from a product perspective to figure out whether we really would want to expose that sort of granularity, but I believe at the matrix layer we have that already.
I mean, in the sense that they're just rooms, yeah. So definitely we do. You could definitely script that, but yeah, it's a question of exposing it in the UI. Oh yeah, come back on stage. So, is that no more questions for the chaps? Okay, well then, join me in a round of applause. Thank you very much.